As I said over and over, the Holy Week is stunning time, and it is a kind of compact version of the whole Christian drama, culminating, of course, in today. And I proposed a week ago today that we can best understand what's going on in Holy Week and through the lens of love, trying to figure out what love is. And I think that's exactly what happened in these extraordinary and precious days, where we can see the nature of love, the costliness of love, and the end of love, which is today. Remember last Sunday, we talked about Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, not on a horse. A horse was for royalty. A horse was for military purposes. Riding on a horse would have put Jesus several feet over the heads of this crowd. A donkey would probably put him fairly well even with these people. The gesture is extraordinarily significant in that it is precisely what we see even more startlingly on Holy Thursday in the foot washing. How do we understand that? Every year, I've had the privilege of doing that, foot washing, in wherever place I've been. And every year, the gesture becomes richer and richer to me. And I think it's best understood as a demystification of power. Power is like an aphrodisiac for us human beings. We have an insatiable appetite for it, and we exercise it, or want to exercise it, always at the expense of other people. And it is startling to me, the more I think about it, how readily we move from power as a given political or social fact to raise it to some kind of moral level where the people who have more power are somehow better than the rest of us. It's astonishing to me. It makes no sense at all. It's absurd. And yet we're all impressed by fancy clothes, fancy titles, fancy positions, and we end up looking up to the people in power. And of course, as we've seen all through the Gospel of Luke, power is very closely united with money, which is simply power in a different form. And every time that Jesus talks about that kind of power in the New Testament, every single time he warns against it. Why? Because power in political or social form or money creates these divides between us human beings. Creates unbridgeable gaps between us and makes love impossible, really. This radical disequilibrium among us human beings. It suffocates love. It stifles it. It renders it impossible. And so we have Jesus on his hands and knees, crawling around on the floor like they did at Brescia, and the Pope did in the Vatican, I assume. Except I think our positions were markedly different. I think the symbolism was also markedly different. Washing people's feet. You see, nobody can be afraid of a poor man, really. And of course, it's fear that is the great catastrophic enemy of love. You can't be afraid of somebody who's washing your feet, for God's sake. You can't. It doesn't make any sense. So what we have in that gesture is a fundamental de-hierarchizing of the world, and ought to be of the church as well. See, this is so crazy. So loopy an idea It's almost beyond imagining that we're all equal. We're all equal. That hierarchies are basically the enemy of love because it is a maldistribution of power, whether politically or economic. And love can't exist in that environment. It cannot. So what do we mean? I'm afraid we in the church say, oh, yeah, the church is not a democracy if we have a hierarchical church. What does that mean, for God's sake? What does that mean? Do we examine those words when we hear them over and over again? It simply means a difference of function, folks. That's all it means. It does not mean some radical disequilibrium between the good people and the rest of us. And God knows all one has to do is look at the history of the church. Alexander VI, one of the Borgias who fathered Cesare Borgia, Lucrezia Borgia. This man was superior to some French peasant on a hillside with his sheep who goes to church and prays? I do not think so. And that's not an anomalous or unprecedented situation. I wonder why it is we want to elevate some people over ourselves. Are we so bloody insecure? So bloody unsure of ourselves that we cannot imagine that we are the equal of everybody else. It's a fascinating thing I recommend to your consideration. Why do we do that? Because we want some bastion of security that can tell us who to be or what to be or how to do or what to do. Because we're afraid to take responsibility for our own lives. I do not know. But there's Jesus doing this. And creating space and time for us, others, in which we can try to love. And I can look at the other and say, yes, we are really here together as equals, whether you're wearing a pointy hat, or wearing a three-piece suit, or driving a Beamer, or whatever it is you're doing, we're all equal. We're all equal. You see, because only on that basis is love even possible, remotely possible. And this is what I mean by talking about the nature of love. The nature of love. Because if you have that differential between the haves and the have-nots, you've also made love impossible. And it's the economic haves, the political haves, the social haves, the academic haves, the cultural haves. Take whatever set of categories you want and see the divisions that grow out of them. But, as I said, this is ridiculous. The world as we know it simply can't function on that basis. It cannot. It never has. It's certainly not doing it now. And therefore, if you propose that as an alternative world, prepare to be crucified. The costliness of love. Jesus' nonviolent response to the haves who want to crush him because he will disturb their status. The religious haves, the political haves. The loss of status, the loss of identity as one of the haves. That's what the Gospels talk about over and over. Unless you die to yourself, you cannot live. Unless you lose your life, you will not have your life. And losing that kind of life makes what? Love possible. And only that makes love possible. Only that makes love possible. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and today. And what is today? Augustine used to say regularly that love seeks above all union people loved. Real love seeks union. And please note that union is possible only with parity. Equality with us, between us. And that's exactly what the resurrection means. I return to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. So having lived my life, having endured the ultimate costliness of love, by being assassinated for loving, as Oscar Romero, as Menachem Begin, as God knows the horrific list of all the political murders that we've seen in our century. All these are transcendent. And so Jesus is joined with the Father. Union. That's what Easter is about. It is about the triumph of love. The Song of Songs says, many waters cannot quench love. On an Easter, if we take this stuff seriously, and of course that's the point, we're all for eggs and cards and lilies and pastel colors and Easter bonnets and new clothes. We're all, that stuff is easy. This stuff is not easy. But this stuff is real. And that other stuff is not real. So Jesus' loving is met by the love of his Father, who brings Jesus home, who restores Jesus in love, in union. So we need to be very careful when we think about this stuff, not to cheapen it, not to misconstrue it, and to see it as a massive criticism of the way the world works. But to see it also as what God is really all about.